Okay, let's get started. Thanks and welcome, everybody, coming to our session about best or proven practices when deploying Office in the late afternoon. I hope you enjoyed your day at TechEd today. During the next 75 minutes, we will give you some insights what we are seeing customer experiencing when they are going to the next version of Office, whatever the next version of Office is. In this case, my name is Martin Notenager. I'm working for Microsoft Consulting Services as a consultant back in Germany. And with me is Kim Kischer, same role, same subsidiary, also from Germany. And we are doing Office migration projects. And we are going to share some insights we have seen at our customers when going from one Office version to the next Office version. So before we start, I would like to ask you, how long did your last Office migration take from end to end? So from the first, we want to go to the next Office until the last seat was deployed, the last client was migrated from an existing Office to the next Office version. Who was or in which environment it was faster than 6 months? Small environment or very agile? Within a week, oh. That's okay, it's easy. I expect the most are working in a time frame 6 months to 18 months during an Office migration. Is somebody working in a company which took more than 18 months to migrate to the next Office version? That was longer, yep. We are aware of a customer who is in his fourth year now of migrating from an old Office version to an Office version which is old today. When he started, it was the newest. So what was the time sink? An Office migration project is, in general, straightforward, client design, building an Office package, integrating it into a software distribution or into your software distribution solution, creating the group policy settings, maybe having some hurdles with the IT security department about the group policy settings, which are enabled, disabled. But from your experience, what takes the most time during an Office migration? Anyone?
Access,
yeah, good one. Add-ins. So it's most of the time it's not the application itself or the new applications itself, but the documents, add-ins, solutions which are created with an old Office version and may not run in the next version. So a typical time frame we experience at larger customers, there's a comparison short or quick client design phase where you build the new Office client, build the applications, the installation package, some scripting, and so on. And then comes a long, long phase about all about Office compatibility. Which documents are critical for my environment? Which documents are critical for my corporation? And then you go into a testing. And this is really a time sink, so it takes most of the time, at least the half of the project time is, or the resources is invested into this phase. User training, for God's sake, at IT department we have not too much to do with end user training. And then you go into deployment, which is typically about 3 to 6 months if you're talking about large environments, meaning more than 50,000 seats to deploy. Microsoft is going to accelerate its release cycles on the Windows side as well as on the Office side. At Office 365, for example, we are aiming and delivering a quarterly release cycle at the moment. So there are updates to the Office 365 services and to the Office 365 client software in about every 3 months. So if your Office migration project takes 1 year, 1.5 year, you will be lagging behind more and more to keep up with these cycles. So one goal of our session is to show you what you can do to deploy Office sooner. You will not really deploy in a technical sense it faster. It takes some time to deploy a solution, but the amount of time you have to invest between the point in time you say, I want to migrate to the next version of Office, and you're deploying the first seat into production, this can be shortened when you're tightening some points in the or phases in the project.
Okay. So let's say company X has decided we're going to migrate to a new version of Office. The biggest concerns that we see is usually it's around, like some of you already said, it's around compatibility. But what does that mean? Is that compatibility of every single document that I have, or is it really only my business critical documents? So by business critical, I mean it's that one spreadsheet that controls my entire financial reporting, or it's that one template that has add-ins or macros or any other built-in solutions that I need to have, that I need, and I need it to run my actual business. So that's the kind of document after migrating you're definitely going to want to continue working, because otherwise the business might not be too happy with the new migration, no matter how much better the new Office is. If their documents aren't working, they can't do their work and they can't keep the business running. So what we'll show you today is an approach that is to make the entire Office compatibility process more efficient. It's a four-step process, which includes the discover, rationalize, validate, and manage phase. And we'll go through each one of those steps in detail and show you what we think that entails. And hopefully, by the end of this session, you'll have a better overview of how an Office migration can be, how it can be accelerated. So what we see out there with a lot of customers is, okay, they're migrating to the new Office, and what they want to do is they want to find every single document they've ever created in that company. So your first problem is going to be, what does really all mean? Is that all the documents that I have on my file servers? Do I include SharePoint? What about personal drives? And what about USB sticks? So you're going to have to make that decision. And the base that you're leveraging those documents from really gets bigger and bigger. But let's say you've come to a decision and decided where you're going to source all your documents from. You run into the next problem. If I want to really inventory everything, then users don't stop creating documents. Let's say today I think I have my inventory finished, but on that same day, users have created 200 more documents. So it's really about where do I make the cut? Because if your goal is to inventory everything, you're definitely going to have a huge problem. And then let's say I've created my inventory, and now it's about I have maybe 10 million documents. I'm not going to want to test every single one of those 10 million documents. So I'm going to have to start rationalizing. See what's really important, which documents do I really need to test. Many IT departments, what they do is they start rationalizing with parameters they've created themselves. It's maybe, can be the size of the document or documents that I know include add-ins or macros. So at this point, what they're starting to do is they're making the decision for the business. It's about documents the IT doesn't actually manage. It's not documents they have created, but they're now making decisions for the business. So why would an IT department want to take on that responsibility and really make that decision for the business? And in the end, what you've done is you've at first collected 10 million documents, and then you can see the graphic on the right-hand side. It shows you, about the ratio. But the what I need point is really only so the people in the back can also see it. The ratio is probably more along the lines of this: what they actually need, what's business critical, and what they need to be testing in the end. So you've just wasted a lot of time, a lot of effort, and a lot of capacity on just inventorying and rationalizing with parameters that might or might not be business critical. What we suggest is that IT departments maybe take a little bit of a different approach and go out into the business and involve them from the very beginning of the migration process. It's really about tracking what the business is doing and asking the right questions to the right people, because they're the only ones who really know what's going on in the business and what's relevant for them. IT departments can't know that, like I said before. They're not the ones using the majority of documents and business-critical applications on a daily basis. So really what this is, it's about discovery and not inventory. This is a major difference in where I'm saving time and, in the end, that I've only collected documents that are relevant that I then need to test. So now, partnering with the business maybe sounds a little bit of abstract, so how do you really do that? One thing, it's not about taking my entire IT department and sending every single one of those people, whether it's 30, 50, or 100, however big your IT department is, and having every single one of those people talking to different ones and coming back and taking those answers back into the department. It's more about finding that one or maybe two people that do like to drink coffee and do small talk, because what this really is about, you need to find out what the business is doing. What is holding up their daily business? Is it, like I said, that one spreadsheet? If that's not going to work, they can't do their work. So it's about asking the right questions. What kind of document, if it doesn't work tomorrow, will make my... Sorry. So what's that one document that, if it doesn't work after the migration, will make my cell phone ring within seconds, and if I can't fix it, you're going to call my boss, and I'm going to be in big trouble? That's the kind of documents you're looking for at this point. It's really about what's holding up the business and what's allowing you to do your daily work. Also, what's important? We're going to go into detail in a little bit later about this. It's really about holding up the connection once you've created it to the business. So it's not about, okay, this is what I want to know from you. They give you the answers. Thank you, goodbye. And leaving them with basically no information. You need to be aware of what your process is going to look like, and you need to share it with the business so they know what's coming. So it's really about keeping up information within the business as well. It's like, okay, this is currently what we're doing. We're trying to find out what we need to do for you to continue your business, and that's going to be our next step, which may be the migration, and so forth. So they also know that you're taking them into consideration. So yeah, a lot of theory, a lot of blah, blah, maybe. I know IT pros, it's a different thing. So a lot of you may be asking, yeah, nice, but what about tools? So who of you has been using tools and what kind of tools when they've migrated to Office? One of your favorite ones. Which one was that? Sorry? OCT, yes. Any others? Okay. Well, one of our key messages of this presentation is really going to be no more OMPM.
Who knows OMPM? Has some experience with this tool? And was it a good experience or mixed or on the other side? It was okay. So just maybe if not everybody is aware of OMPM, OMPM is a tool to inventory your IT landscape. So it could crawl across the file service and index every file you have and get some data about the files, if a VBA code is present or documents are embedded in the document and so on and so on. And we have seen a lot of customers generating this huge lists, the inventories, and then starting to scratch off what is not needed, and if we have a technical indication that a VBA is or VBA project is existing a document, then it was put on the pile for testing just because this is there's VBA code and a document. So this is how we have seen customers using the OMPM.
Yeah, and the bad news with that, we provide you with this, so it's our own tool. But even though we're saying no more OMPM and don't go back to using the traditional tools that we've provided, we're not leaving you hanging without any tools. That's why with Office 2013 comes the telemetry dashboard. Who of you has heard of it or maybe even used it? Okay, just a single person, so not very many are aware of it. What telemetry dashboard really does, it's a new tool that can help you throughout the entire migration process and even beyond that. It provides you with usage information on which document is used by how many people, which documents create add-ins, the load time of those add-ins, and various other information that can be very relevant throughout the migration and testing compatibility process. However, even though this gives you a much, much better base of maybe trying to figure out which documents could be relevant and business critical, because you can, you know, filter which add-ins, where really are the add-ins, even though you weren't aware of them before, it does not substitute talking to the business. Because same as I said before, you're making suggestions based on the knowledge that the IT department theoretically has. But still, it's not a substitute of really going out there, presenting maybe that information to the business and saying, hey, this is what I think could be critical to you. Yes, no, anything else that I've maybe left out. So it's not a substitute. It's really something that will help you create the initial contact and engaging with the business with more valid information. And just as a side note, I've just said that this now comes with Office 2013 Pro Plus and Office 365 Pro Plus. Doesn't make any sense, obviously, if you're not using that already. But it also works with Office 2003 and any newer version. So if you're going to migrate from any of those Office versions, that tool can already be of very great help. And to give you a better insight into what that tool looks like, how it works, and what it really can do for you, Martin's going to give you a little look at that.
Oh, wait. So to use the telemetry feature, you need at least one client with an Office 2013 or Office 365 Pro Plus installation to have access to the telemetry dashboard. This dashboard connects to a SQL server which holds all the data which was collected from the users. So you have to set up a SQL server. A SQL Server Express Edition, which is free, is fine as a starting point. If you want to run it for a long time or have a large user base, you need a full-blown SQL Server to hold the data. You need to set up a server or maybe a workstation to process the incoming data. How does the data come into the system? By a group policy setting, you can activate the Office telemetry, which is built in Office 2013 already. Or if you have older Office clients, you can download the telemetry agent, deploy it to these machines, and they will also activate by group policy setting. The group policy setting will also define where the Office clients will report their usage data to. And then the telemetry processor will combine all this data, write it into the SQL database, and with this dashboard, you can connect to the database and look what your users are really using. We have some tabs down below. It's structured like documents, so all files which I use, and solutions. Solutions is a term we use for add-ins, but also for apps for Office. So these both are combined in the solutions tab. And we will later talk about the other tabs you have. So the documents, for instance, here can see a list which documents are used by users, and I can see how many users are using these documents. So each document, which you can see on this list, was actually used by at least one end user. It's not an inventory, what is laying on my file server, SharePoints, thumb drives, desktops, and whatever. This is a view into what are my users are really using on a day-to-day basis. And based on the size of your organization, you can set a threshold and say, for example, I assume that documents used by 50 people or more are important, and documents which are less used are not important from a business. And so you can create a starting point to discuss with your business. It's often a bold approach to go to your business and say, I have nothing, but tell me what you need in your day-to-day business. And with telemetry, you can create a starting point and say, okay, these are about 37 of about 700 tracked files, which are used by a large amount of users. I expect that these documents are important to your business. Is this right? Let's start to cross off documents from this list or add documents to this list. If a business partner can tell me there's a document used only by 3 people, but they are really important, what they are doing with the documents, then you will put it on a list. And the same goes for solutions. If you are having a very well centrally managed IT environment, you should know which add-ins are deployed across your client landscape, but in most cases, there's a white space, and let's call it this way. And telemetry also collects this data, which add-ins are installed on the machines, reports it back, and now I can also filter which add-ins are installed in my client landscape, used by which applications. On the right-hand side, you can see if an application is installed in Outlook or in Word or in Excel, and I can also filter by the total amount of users. The question was, can this information be drilled down to the actual user and actual computer? Yes, it can. But we have different mechanisms in telemetry to ensure the privacy of the user. So we can blank out user's name, or we can select which information is only by group policy, you can select which information is collected and reported back. But when you're just enabling telemetry and doing no more configuration, we can track down which documents are used by which user on which machine. That's possible. But it's possible also on a dashboard level to set a threshold, for instance, that no individual files are reported to protect the privacy of the user. So I'm setting a filter, the same style like I did with the documents. I'm only interested in add-ins which are at least 50 times installed. And then I have a list of 35 add-ins out of around 150. And this gives me a much shorter list to start the discussion with the office department, business departments. Is my assumption this is an important that must run in the new version or the next version of Office? Is the assumption right or wrong? What should be added? What should be removed? And this is a better approach than with OMPM, which lists are going for pages and pages and pages. And we had no information if a file is really still used by a user or not. Question was if telemetry generates a hash on a file so we can identify which files with same or different file name are really the same or different files. It does not.
So it's only the file name.
It's only the file name and the location where it's saved. So it cannot be utilized to discover how many duplicates I have in my environment. Do I have the same file 10,000 times? Okay, telemetry helps me to shorten the discovery process, to not have to inventory everything, but to discover, start the decision or discussions with the business, and lead it to a decision which documents, which add-ins must run on the next version of Office on day one of the deployment to not impact the day-to-day business. The next step is to test this, to test if a document is compatible. And there are different assumptions, what is compatibility about? And we are working the most time with the following definition. A document is compatible when it has no bugs in your environment you want. This can be the environment you are running today, or if you're changing the whole environment when migrating to the next version of Office, maybe you're also migrating to the next version of Windows. It's important that these documents have no bugs in the environment you're aiming at, which stops the end user from doing their work. And this definition of compatibility does not mean that a document is free of bugs. So the aim is not to find any and every single bug which is possible within a document file. It's just enough to enable the user to continue to do his work. During our projects, we often see documents which have a lot of buttons on spreadsheets which are connected to different macros, and about three buttons are not working. And when we are talking to the end user, it's like, yeah, they are not working since 2 years now because we retired a system and nobody removed the buttons. But we don't care about the buttons. We all know these three buttons are not working. There are two buttons to generate reports. They are working, and these are the two buttons we need. We don't care about three buttons not working, about macro code not working, because only part of the whole document is important to the end user. And then, theoretically, it would be better to clean up the document and remove all macro code which is old and broken. But for going to your goal, do not break your business when migrating, it's not important. It's important that the part of the document which is used by the end user is still working. So it's not removing all bugs. It's also not about throwing errors in an environment you do not have. So if an Excel spreadsheet connects to an Access database and or a SQL database, and it does not work in a workgroup mode because a domain account is not present, and your company hopefully is not working in a workgroup mode, then it's not important for going to the next version of Windows. It's a bug by definition, which is not handled the correct way, but it's not important in your configuration because you have a domain configuration, and we do not care about bugs coming up in a workgroup configuration, for example. And this is always a back and forth between business and the IT. Compatibility is also not about implementing new features. I've often this discussion like, yep, there's one thing broken in the document and we want to correct this one, and maybe we can add another report, two more buttons, one import function, and reshape the whole document or reshape the whole database. This is in a clear definition of your project goal. It's not important to implement new features. It can be used to as a marketing method to also implement new features, but it's not important for your compatibility. It's important to fix the bugs which prevents the users from doing their work. So it's not like migrating us in the Access database to a SQL server. This is a better long-term solution, but maybe you should fix the Access database that it works and then set up a new project to migrate it to a SQL server solution and retire it in 6 months, 8 months, 3 months, whatever. But don't let it stop your Office migration project. And it's important not to search or invest any time into finding broken documents nobody uses any longer. So if we know that Access databases of a certain format, for example, Access 2.0 databases are not working in a new Office, if nobody uses this old databases, there's no value in searching this. So do not invest time into finding documents which might be broken, which nobody uses. This is one of the shortcomings of OMPM. It's easy to find a lot of documents with a lot of possible issues which nobody uses. So with this in mind, and together with the business, you scoped what you want to do and how to test it, let it test by the end users. They must be able to do their day-to-day work. If it works, it's fine. If not, you have to fix it. But how do you validate? When you're using Office 2013, which is an MSE-based installation, you cannot run it side-by-side on one client with the existing Office solution. There are technical limitations, like you can only have one version of Office of Outlook. So in the most cases, you have to build up a testing environment, dedicated testing environment, presenting in the new world, maybe a new Windows client and a new Office client, and make it possible for the end user to connect into this new world, accessing a testing machine with a new Office and doing his work. Which means this testing environment, the new world, must be able to connect to the old world because he has to access his files or backend services or SQL servers or access databases or whatever. So it must be transparent that from a testing environment you can reach the data sources in your production environment. If you're not enabling this, it's not a good test. So then you are not testing the new environment. And we recommend that users are able to log in with their existing domain account, not creating new test accounts, because in most cases, these domain accounts are have special permissions or setting or group policy settings assigned to the account. So when you start testing with a testing account, which is maybe missing permissions or applied group policy, it's not a good test. Maybe you are missing something or you have to make up a test user account in the database, and then you have not a good test. What we've seen is working well is using a virtual desktop environment, so VDI, fully virtual machine setting up that scales out really well, can be set up rather quickly, and then you have to try to make it like production, so it must be for the user really easy to access the machine, to log in into this machine, to access his Office applications, to access his files. So make it really like he's in a production environment. Remove all this testing hurdles he must go through. And in most engagements, we are offering what we call assisted user acceptance testing. So somebody from the IT department goes out to the user and helps him to test this document, to show him how he can access the virtual environment, how he documents an issue or bug or an error, and how he moves in the testing environment. Good news with Office 365. Okay. The question is if AppV or Synapp are alternatives of creating a dedicated testing environment. Sequencing Office 2013 Standard or Professional Plus with AppV is not supported by Microsoft, and sequencing it with Synapp might be supported by a VM. So the first option from a supporting standpoint is not supported by us. For the other solution, you must refer to VMware. Good news if you're using Office 365 Pro Plus, which is which has the click-to-run technology built in, which is based on application virtualization technology. You can run the Office 365 Pro Plus side-by-side with older Office versions. So this eliminates the need to have an special user acceptance test environment or a testing environment. You can just deploy the new Office, the click-to-run version, into your production environment side-by-side with the existing Office. So you really cutting away some time building up the testing environment, go into live production and starting to deploy Office slowly to certain test users, and then can start to do their day-to-day work with a new Office. If something is not working, they close a new Office, start their old Office, and can continue to work to do their work. So you will not render them incapable of doing that. And if an issue occurs and you have telemetry in place, you most likely will see this in a dashboard, or you should instruct the users to report bugs or errors or issues he encounters. But this makes sure that the users are only testing what they're using in their day-to-day work, because you're moving the test environment right into the production environment. Doug, can you? The question was, is there a downside using click to run in a long-term approach? Kind of, yeah. If you're running it in a side-by-side configuration for a long time, you're increasing your total cost of ownership because you have to support two Office versions. But if it's only for a limited time frame that you're running side-by-side, and then after a certain amount of time, you're uninstalling the old Office and just keeping Office 365 Pro Plus click to run running on the clients, there's no issue. So, but instead of talking about click to run all the time, Kim will demo it to you.
Okay, so have any of you deployed click to run in the past? Yes? Okay. Well, a few of you have, but we're now going to show you how much faster click to run is and how really easy that can run side by side. So, what I have here is a Windows 7 client. What you can see is I have my Office 3 on here, sorry about that. Outlook is open, Word is open. So now IT department calls that one user saying, okay, we're now going to deploy Office, but no worries, you don't have to shut down your computer, you don't even have to shut down the applications, but soon enough you'll have a new version of Office on here. Just for your reference, you can see this machine is offline. It's not connected to the internet. So the sources of click to run are local. So, yeah. So I'm just going to start the installation process now. This is what you get with the installation, like, initially. This message is expected, as I showed you before. The machine isn't connected to the internet, so right now I can't connect to the network. So what this tells me already is my Office is basically ready to work, almost. What it does in the first step is it just installs really the core of Office on my computer, and then in the back installs every application by application. And there's a certain running order that it has in which the applications are installed. But if my user starts, wants to use Word right away and it's not already installed, it's going to switch that running order to ensure that the user can use Word as quickly as possible. So, it's going to adjust basically to the way the user wants to use its new Office. But, as I said, you saw how quickly that went, and it's really already ready to use. And here you can see in the start menu that my entire Office already pops up here. And I can open any of those applications. Let's see if that's already done. Yes, PowerPoint working fine. If it wasn't ready, it would tell you right away. Just gives you a basic message of just hold on for a second. That message already had earlier. Okay, so let's just start a new template. Obviously, you can also run this as a silent installation, but we've just done this as a purpose of showing you how that works. So In the past, when you were installing a new version of Office, you couldn't have two Outlooks on your computer. That simply just wasn't, like, technically, that was not possible. Now it is. With Click to Run, it is. So I still have my Outlook here. However, what I need to do, I can have two Outlooks open at the same time, which is possible with the other applications. So what you can see here, this is my old version of Outlook. I have a couple of mails in here. I have calendar entries, and I even have a task created. But now I want to, you know, I've just gotten my brand new office, so I'm going to want to use that. So I'm going to shut this down and open my new Outlook. And if you've just paid attention to the mails I did have in my other account, it's the same exact mails. It's synchronized right away. Same calendar entries, and also the task is in here. Now, what I'm going to do now is just create a new task. Just call it task created in Outlook 2013 for your reference. Save it on here. Pops up. Shut this down. Let's say I. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, sir. So the question was what it's doing with PST files and archives. Did you want to go ahead?
So PST files still work in,
you're not turned on.
In Outlook.
I wanted to. So, Outlook 2013 still works with PST files, so there's no issue. On the OST file format, there are changes which can be used to get down the size of OST files, but in a side-by-side configuration, this will not be done by Outlook by default, so the old Outlook and the new Outlook can work with the same OST files. There were no changes in the file format, or it's compatible to use the old file format.
So if I lock down my old Outlook and start in 2013, it's taking my whole configuration, including the connected PST files, and it's using my PST files, but it
right. So what he says is the new Outlook, if it opens up and an old Outlook is present, it basically copies the whole profile, Outlook profile, the whole configuration about which add-ins to load, copies this into the new registry path of the newer Outlook. So it makes a copy of these parts, but the files on the disk are not duplicated. So it does not copy the PSTs, but it starts to use all the PST files, and new data is imported into all the PST file. It just starts to use all the OST file and does not convert it into a newer format. So you basically have one source of your emails. You do not have two OST files. You do not have two PST files which get out of sync at some time.
Yeah, and that was actually also going to be another thing that I was going to point out. This version that we have of Click to Run is in patch to the newest version that we have out right now. So that was what the error message was about. That's fixed by now. Yeah, what I wanted to show you, I just created a task in Outlook 2013. It also shows up in here, just showing you that really it hasn't duplicated anything for Outlook 2013. It's really using the same base of data for both versions of Outlook at this point. Yeah, and then, like I said, I can use both words at the same time. You can, like, let's say you have that one document that has that really important add-in and you're not sure if it's going to work, you can run them side by side, and if you run into an error, you know, just switch between the two applications. And like we said before, what this really does, it enables your users to be testing while in the process of migrating. And you can step in right there. It's just-in-time framework, basically, that helps... that lets you prevent creating an entire testing environment when using Click to Run. Yes, go ahead.
What I didn't
question was if the installation runs in administrative mode or in administrative context. Yes, it does. So it does not install into the user profile. It's installed in C program files, so it needs administrative rights. So if you have a software distribution solution which can kick off a setup with administrative rights silently, you can use the same solution to deploy the new office to a machine.
Okay, and now that I've created all those prerequisites and I've made those decisions, I'm ready to deploy, right, Martin?
Yes, you are. Just
clicker.
No. So our next step, so we had a discovery, hopefully no inventory, but a discovery. Then we went to the validation phase. So you set up an own user acceptance test environment to test all decided on the documents, application solutions in this environment, or you deployed hopefully Office 365 Pro Plus to a certain amount of users in the production so they can start to use the Office, use it with new documents, and have the built-in safety net to utilize the old Office if they encounter any issues. So the next step is to deploy Office into your production. The most, it's like a checklist, are you ready to deploy? So first question is, have you met all your day one requirements? So what must work from day one on? Maybe you have issues with some documents and solutions which must not work on the first day. Maybe there's a database or an Excel spreadsheet which is used once a year, and this point in time is 8 months in the future. Then you can start deploying and using this time till you reach this point. So if day one requirements are met, start out to deploy. Make sure that the business is involved. So deploying is a planning process which binds a lot of resources, but do not forget to involve the business. Tell them what you are doing, how is the timetable, how is it scheduled, what does can the business expect, what might be raised in issues. So keep it involved and informed, and set a deployment pace you want to keep. So in most cases, I tend to start slow, just a few seats per day, and if no major issues come up, then start to accelerate. But plan this pace and acceleration beforehand. So you can easier inform the business about how fast or not fast your deployment will be, and also you can make plans like recovery plans if anything goes wrong. But don't do a just-in-time decision, plan it, and then execute it. Be prepared to react. We are shortening the beforehand testing, so there might be issues during during deployment which come up. So be prepared to react. Look at the telemetry dashboard. If any issues come up, talk to the service desk, help desk, whatever instance you have to see incidents, to track if you have any major problems. There will be a lot of minor problems during a deployment. So if the coffee is less tasty than yesterday, it's because of the new office. So during a migration, there are always coming some things up which are not really related to the new office. So sort it out. And when you are using Click to Run in a side-by-side configuration, have a clear plan which is communicated or synchronized with the business when you will remove the old office. We do not recommend to run side-by-side for ages and decades. Run it for a certain amount of time, maybe 3 months, 6 months, 1 year, and then you start to roll back the old office and uninstall it from all machines. So only the new Office 365 Pro Plus Click to Run is present on the machine. So we got through the first three steps. Discovery is done, validation is done, and we are have done deployment or at least 80%. So Office or the project stops and Office is handed over into production. So I'm an IT guy or as a consultant, I'm out, right? No, it's not. We are, as I mentioned before, we are accelerating our release cycles. There will be more features coming quicker, at least on the Office 365 side. So when you're done with an Office migration, the next Office migration can be seen on the horizon. So during this effort, get yourself into a position to go into the next Office migration cycle, which is hopefully shorter. So keep your connection to the business alive. Reusing these connections when you have the next Office migration project, or when you're doing your next Office migration project, is much easier than recreating these connections. Improve your Office landscape or your Office platform in small steps. Iterate. I had a customer who wanted to roll out a digital certificate or signing all the VBA code in his environment. And he wanted it in a one-day deployment approach, like setting the group policy setting that signed VBA code is required. This is not feasible for a large environment. So we defined small steps. We are rolling out the requirement that VBA code is signed. Over time, for certain application, at the beginning, PowerPoint is required to have signed VBA code. Then it's Word, then it's Excel, then it's Access. And we are rolling it out across different departments. So the whole process takes a lot of time, but it's a lot of small steps. And after all, every small step, we can see what was good, what was bad, what was ugly, and iterate and improve the next step. So don't try to make a huge improvement all 3 years and then fall asleep for 3 years and then do the next big step. Use the tools which gets you insight into your running or in production office, but only if you can, if it's actionable. If you can, when you see the data, you can define a reaction or action on it. Don't collect data only for the purpose of collecting data and making nice PowerPoint slides, but try really to look into your environment, understand your environment, and generate actions out of it. And listen to your internal customers. I know IT departments are not tending to listen to their internal customers in most cases, but try to listen to them and separate what is noise, what is really an important message, what the business needs to keep its business running. And the telemetry built into Office can help you during this managing process. So it's a tool which can be used during the project time frame, generating a discovery, inventory based on discovery, starting the discussion with your business. But you can also use the Office telemetry to maintain your Office while it's in production. So it's the same dashboard, and now I'm looking at the solutions tab. And beside the total number of users of each add-in, we can see here how successful the add-in was running within Office. So if there are any issues loading the add-in, and we have some add-ins with issues, this one has 63. Critical issues, I can click on it, and then I can see that the add-in fails several times to load within the Office application. So then I should define an action and try to get a hold on this add-in, why it's crashing now. But maybe it was running fine for the last 3 months or six or last year, and now it starts to crash. Why? And with Office telemetry, you have the ability to see these trends before maybe the help desk is telling you that you have a problem in your environment. There's an add-in with a really long load time. It takes nearly 10 seconds to load this add-in. So if users are complaining about a slow Office, it really starts slow. With looking into this dashboard, you can see who's the culprit on this side? Who is responsible for a slow office? Maybe it's this add-in. And if you identified an add-in which causes you problems, you can go into add-in management mode. And from this console, you can select which add-ins to block. Maybe this really slow add-in, I want to block it. I select block. And on the upper right-hand side, I can now create a script which I can apply to all clients with a GPO, and it will disable the add-on until maybe I rolled out a fix to this add-in that the load time goes down from 9 seconds to maybe a half a second, and then I can create a new script to re-enable the add-in. So I can really get an insight how is my office environment or the office and the production behaving. Do I have impacts from add-ins? Do I have impacts from recent software updates or product updates? This can be achieved.
Does it also provide timings during office usage? Not only loading add-ins, but also working with the add-ins?
Question was if telemetry provides me timings of the add-in behavior during it's used. No, it's not. It's only reporting the time it took to load the add-in, because during the add-in is running, we cannot decide if the add-in takes 5 seconds for calculation, if 5 seconds is good or bad.
Crashes
later on are reported. So if it's running slow, during usage, we will not see it in telemetry, but if it crashes, then we will see it. The question was, when I'm using user acceptance testing with Office 365 Pro Plus, how is the add-in testing fitting in this? When you're deploying Office 365 Pro Plus in a side-by-side configuration, it automatically loads all add-ins which are registered for the older Office version. So without doing anything, you're automatically, or the end users automatically testing the add-ins, because Office tries to load all the add-ins which are registered in the older Office version. In most cases, it works. So these reports are built in. You also have the there's a custom report feature in the dashboard, so you can, based on pivot tables, you can build your own reports. On the right-hand side, you see the fields which are defined in the database, which can be used. And now you can mix and match what you want to see about your running environment. So maybe I want to check which documents have ActiveX. Then I need the filter has ActiveX. I need a file name. And not the count of events, but we will take also from inventory user ID. And let's make this a distinct count. And for example, now I can see which documents have an ActiveX control in it and are used by how many people. So between Office Migration Project, I can look into my environment, what type of documents are my users using, do I have a lot of ActiveX controls. We can add more fields like, do I have an event ID? So does this document crash more often than other documents? You can also add an information like the application version, so you can track if documents crashes more often or Office crashes more often with a newer application version. So when I'm rolling out updates across my landscape, I can see if Office is stable as I'm used to, or if it's getting more stable or it's getting unstable. So this way, the telemetry dashboard can be used between the Office migration projects during the production phase, which is often very long. But don't lose the touch to your Office landscape. The question is, does Office telemetry track the usage for documents protected by IRM? I'm not sure. I would expect yes, because the user opens the document, so the user credentials are used, or the certificates are used to unlock the document, and Office telemetry is part of Office itself, so it can track the usage. I expect it can track the usage of IRM documents.
Okay, so I'm going to go back to the model that we showed you in the very beginning. We've gone through all of the steps now. We've showed you what we mean by discover, how to rationalize which documents really need to be tested, how do I validate, and that you need to manage. So what do you think could be missing on this, on this diagram? Go ahead.
User training.
Yes and no. That could be, you know, in terms of our understanding, part of managing the entire process. To make this a little bit more interesting of the ones who haven't replied now, we did bring three copies of an Office 365 one-year subscription with us. So if any of you want to participate at this point, feel free.
You get one.
No one interested. Okay. No, but just kidding. What we mean is, really, it's a never-ending process. We really want to stress on you need to manage your Office version after you've migrated, because we're probably not going to continue developing our Office, and at some point, you're probably going to migrate again. So if you continue managing with the tools that we can provide you with, and with some of the hints that we've given you throughout this presentation, then your next migration is probably going to be a lot more efficient and, in the best case scenario, faster and just easier, because you've created all those connections and you're much more aware. You just have more tools that make you aware of your own IT environment. So really the key takeaways that we have for you at this point: telemetry, amazing tool, but only a starting point. It doesn't substitute the business like we said before. However, it supports discovery, and discovery drives testing, makes testing much easier and much faster. And relevance of documents that telemetry can provide you with drives rationalization without, you know, creating all those parameters on your own. Only test critical solutions, things that have shown up in the telemetry dashboard, or where beforehand your business comes to you and says, I need you to test this because if this doesn't run, I can't run my business. It's more about reactive data rather than going out there proactively and testing everything that may or may not be exposed to that migration. And really, click to run allows no fear testing. It allows you to be much bolder and just, you know, go out there quicker. Sounds all nice, but does that really work? Oh, sorry.
Skip
that. Okay, sounds good. Does that work in reality? It does. We've had a public customer that deployed Office 365 where we did that. And yes, I want to stress the public customer, because sometimes, you know, click to run is always, yeah, but it's all cloud and we don't know, is that secure? It did work, and they did deploy, and it was very fast. How long was that? 6 weeks?
We can mention the customer name. We were engaged at the Hamburg Port Authority, which is responsible for running the port of Hamburg in Germany. And it's really a business, or they are running a lot of business critical applications. If some applications go down for about half an hour, the backlog of activities to get it in what they lost is about 2 days. So half hour breakdown, 2 days of extra work. So they are really consciousness about risking their business continuity. But we did it, and it took about 6 weeks between our first kickoff meeting and until we deployed our first seat into production. So it was really setting up the client, setting up the update infrastructure, setting up the group policy settings, getting the software distribution ready, identify an apartment which volunteered to try out the new office, and then we deployed it. So it's not just theory, it's really possible. And within 6 weeks, start to deploy an office for public 3,000 seats customer is quite a mark.
Yep, and to sum that all up, we did bring a little video of that exact same project, and they're maybe giving you a little bit of insight of how they experienced the entire process of migrating to Office 365.
The port of Hamburg is the second biggest port here in Europe.
We now have more mobile workers who leave their office, who go around the harbor.
They're using mobile devices with touch technology to get information, to put new information about working areas into our information systems.
We choose the approach to use our existing Active Directory structure to directly connect a user account to an Office 365 license. This is running completely in the background. As long as the user is logged into the Active Directory, he has his license connected. They now can get Office 365 installed on 5 devices.
We are saving 75% in deploying time to deploying Office now because we are using the streaming technology of Office 365 Plus. Our emergency response machines here in the harbor are not used very often. With the deployment technology of Office 365 Plus, we are able to deploy the updates very, very fast and have these clients up and running in a very short time.
So we are at the end of our session. We wrote down some key takeaways just for reference. Thanks for joining us in our session about what you should know about before you start to deploy in the next version of Office, how you may be able to shorten the whole process to get it quicker running, quicker time to market, and overall less effort to go to the next version of Office. So there's some related content throughout the next days. There are two sessions we would recommend, or if you want to discuss technical questions or get a hands-on demonstration on telemetry or click to run, how to deploy it, how to update it, how to automate the updating, come to the office booth, see us, talk with us. We can demo all the stuff we showed you here in an overview. And we have some more resources, especially on Office telemetry. We have a blog and some other links to more content. This is also covering the whole privacy discussion around telemetry, which ways you have to protect the privacy of the individual users, how to deal with this area. So thanks for coming. And we would like to encourage you to fill out the evals. You can win something, and we would like to have your feedback. So we are, for 5 minutes, we have time. So come to the front, ask questions, and get hold of an Office 365 subscription for 1 year.